Y'all not in any hurry, are you? I know Jan Unger's in a hurry. He's got a timer set back there for me. So if at some point he stands up, starts waving his hands and this, you know, going all crazy, y'all ignore him because that's what I'm going to do. There was a young African-American young man played basketball for Newport High School, and he had some friends who were members of Memorial Baptist Church. I just finished a 6.5-year interim at Memorial. And by the way, I'm not going to be your successor. I've done my time. But this little fella came to Memorial several times, and a period of time went by, and we hadn't seen him. He showed up one Sunday, and I spoke to him after church as we were leaving, and I said, "I miss you. I'm glad to see you." He said, "I'm glad to see you too, Pastor Ball." He said, he kind of thought for a minute and he said, "You still got it. Y'all still got it. Great job. Great job." What a delight to be here. What a thrill to be with First Baptist Franklin on this important anniversary and homecoming, and it's just great to be here and great to see so many of you. Some of our best friends in all the world are right here. We are grateful. It's a delight to be here. 50 years ago, this past August, I started preaching the gospel, preached my first sermon. I think I was 3 at the time. One of my favorite songs through all of this period. Would y'all like me to sing it? No? Okay, no. "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." How true that is. How wonderful it is to serve a living Savior who saw something in me back there somewhere or another. Thought I was capable of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to quit. I've retired 4 times, y'all, since I left here. But somebody seems to find my number somewhere and keep calling, and I just soon be in the pulpit when Jesus comes as anywhere. It'll be okay with me if he comes today. But I've enjoyed all these years, and 15 of our best years out of those 50 were the 15 we were here with y'all. And I know you've seen Jerry, and you've been able to gab with her a little bit, and you'll have more time. She'll talk to you. Don't worry about her not being able to eat. She'd rather talk. But she's doing well. A little over a week ago, she had a surgical procedure on her back. Somebody said I had ridden her for so long, messed up her back. So, but she's doing well, and she was determined she was going to be here today. So I'm glad she is, and I'm delighted you're here. What a joy to look around and just see the beautiful, smiling faces. You put up with me for 15 years. You loved me, and I loved you. And I still do. I'm going to do a sermon today. I am sure that all of you who were here 20-something years ago, I came as pastor in January of 94, and I preached the first homecoming sermon, the first Sunday in May of that year. And I'm sure Brother Jan remembers that sermon. He probably don't even remember your sermon from last Sunday. Dale West probably has notes in her Bible. Yeah. It's hard to go back and preach where Dale's there because she makes all these notes, and I guess I could just borrow her notes. Her notes might be a little more brief than mine. Dale and Miss Mary Fisher always took notes. I mean, lots of notes. But the scripture passage is the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. If you're physically able to do so, I would like for you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform or stop conforming to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. May God bless the reading and the hearing and our response to His Word. If you'll be seated, please. In the comic strip, character Marvin, looking at himself in the mirror. Now, I have to confess, I said to somebody last night, I can't read the comic strips nowadays. Jerry gets tired of trying to explain them to me. Comic strips. Comedy shows. They're not funny, are they? They're not. They're basically stupid. Not really much to laugh about. But this was back when comic strips were comic strip, and this dude was looking at himself in the mirror, and he said, I'm really not overweight. In fact, my body is in great shape. It's my bones that are flabby. There's a lot of emphasis in modern society about shaping up the body physically, getting in shape, staying in shape. Some folks work really, really hard at getting the body in good shape. And it's good to do that. You see people walking everywhere, people running everywhere, people on treadmills, people lifting weights, wanting to look better, exercising, wanting to feel better. One time I decided I was going to try to get in a little bit better shape than what I was. And I went by Franklin Track over here, and I put a few miles on that track around the football team over there. I was going to get myself, and I thought I was doing okay. We were at a men's breakfast at one of the restaurants in town, and I probably eat a piece of toast. I wanted gravy and biscuits. But I said something about I'm trying to watch it and I'm trying to get my body in good shape. And a former friend of mine said, did you just start this morning? It's important. Keeping our physical bodies in good shape, building up the body, is important. Scripture says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And we don't want Him to live in bodies that are all out of shape and this and that and the other. So we work, most of us, Some of us don't care, but most of us work at it. But I want to talk about, and I want us to think about our spiritual body, the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul used this analogy quite a bit in his writings and in his preaching. The church as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he always made sure that everybody understood that Jesus himself is the head of the body. And there's no church anywhere that needs to try to improve on that. This is his church. For all of these years, stood here and gone out in this community and different places around the world, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with the understanding that we do so because Christ commissions us to do so. We are his body. He's not physically present in the world now as he was at one time. He is very much represented by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But his hands and his feet and his heart is us. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul gives us some great counsel here in this passage about shaping up the body, the church. In the physical realm, we sometimes get a little lazy. And it seems like the older you get, the easier it is to be lazy. I don't know. Some of you would not understand that. We get out of shape physically. We allow it to happen. I've already done a survey of the fellowship hall, and there's umpteen boxes of fried chicken down there and numerous banana puddings. I wanted to sample the banana puddings, but I couldn't get past John Hook. Our physical body gets out of shape, and it happens to the spiritual body. We get spiritually lazy. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't come to church. We get spiritually lazy, and our task, our part of keeping the body of Christ going strong, suffers. So what do we need to do? Well, Paul gives us some great counsel. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. The supreme sacrifice of all time was Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, suffering and bleeding and hurting and dying, not because he had sinned, but because you had sinned and I had sinned. He made the supreme sacrifice. And we are taught by the Apostle Paul to follow his example, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Christ. Too often we exhaust ourselves in other things of the world, and Christ gets the leftovers. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. That's true and proper worship. Stop being conformed to the pattern of this world. This world never got it right. This society never got it right. They're not getting it right today. They think they are. They think we're all wrong. But when Jesus Christ returns to earth, he'll declare, he'll reveal who's right and who's wrong. And it won't be the world, the society of the world, who's got it right. It'll be the believers in Jesus Christ. So we build up the body by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, one that's alive, one that's committed to him, one that's willing to follow him and be obedient to his teaching. Secondly, we build up the body through proper use of our spiritual gifts. Every person who has ever professed faith in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift. At least one. Some people are blessed with multiple gifts. But all of us, every believer in Christ, is gifted. We Baptists are sometimes scared to death by the word charismatic. Let me tell you, you are charismatic. The word for spiritual gift is charismata, grace gift. And if you know Jesus and if you're born again, you're charismatic. You have a grace gift. And it's not given to you just to sit around and do nothing with it. We build up the body through proper use of our spiritual gifts. Every believer is gifted. All are given some gifts. All gifts are important. What's urgent is that we find out where we're gifted. Paul said, whatever it is, whatever Christ has given to you to do, do it with all your heart, with all your might. Get on with it. Use your gift to the glory of Christ. All of us, there are no useless members in the body of Christ. In our physical bodies, every part of the body is important. Every part. The hand, the eyes, the ears, the feet, the legs. They're all important. Every member of the body of Christ is important. Not indispensable, but important. You are important to the body of Christ. And the best way to take advantage of that is discovering, what can I do? How am I gifted? And not trying to take somebody else's gift, but using the one Christ has given me. Using our spiritual gifts, we build up the body of Christ through genuine love for one another. If we in the church cannot love each other, we're part of the body. We're brothers and sisters. If we can't love one another, how in the world are we going to love the world to Christ? If we don't practice loving one another, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Love your brothers and sisters regardless of their theology or whatever they think or believe or whatever. Jesus said, "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples through your love for one another." Satan is so busy in the world trying to destroy the church and trying to tear up believers and trying to do as much harm as he can. It's imperative that we grow in love for one another. We accept one another warmly as brothers and sisters. We show respect for one another. We regard others' needs before we think about our own. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you." That's a pretty big statement. You remember how much he loved you? He died on the cross because he loved you and me. How special is that? And then he said, "This is my commandment." Not a suggestion. The world wants to treat the Ten Commandments as the Ten Suggestions. They ain't suggestions, folks. They're commandments. They're laws of God. And when we break them, we're disobedient to God. Doesn't matter what it is. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Now, I told you, I've been preaching 50 years. I've pastored 6 churches. And there have been some people in some of those churches, not this one. There have been some people in some of those churches that's hard to love. Not here. Some of those other churches, those Tennessee churches, them people's hard to love. But I really don't have a choice. Don't matter how ugly they are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how mean-spirited they are. Doesn't matter. Love is not an option. Not for the believer. Jesus didn't have a plan A or an alternate plan. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We build up the body by loving. We build up the body through fervent service to the Lord. Not by being lazy. Not by being slothful. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Are you as excited about serving Christ today as you were a month ago, a year ago? Do you have enthusiasm for serving Christ and being a part of his body? Is there real joy in your life? You know what happens when we get a little bent out of shape? We try to find somebody else to blame it on. There ain't nobody else. If you don't have that spiritual fervor, that spiritual excitement, that enthusiasm for being a servant of Jesus Christ and being a part of His body, ain't nobody but you. There is nobody else to blame. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Spiritual fervor. And the word is zeontes, and it means literally boiling hot. Back in the days when ladies used to iron clothes, boy, did I get a look from that. They figured out right away, you can't iron a shirt with a cold iron. Can you? That iron's got to be hot. And we can't serve Christ with cold, clammy hearts, with a lack of joy and enthusiasm and fire and fervency. But I will warn you, you do have to be careful with those hot irons, because if you drop them on the carpet, they'll leave an imprint. Are you on fire for Jesus? Or are you just kind of going through the routine? Just whatever it takes. I've gotten kind of lazy in my senior years. We live in a condominium, and they send people out to mow my yard for me. It ain't free, but it's a heck of a lot better than having to try to keep a John Deere going. And some of those guys they send out there couldn't care less. They're just there to get it done and get their paycheck. They don't care. But there's some of them who come and you can just tell. They take pains to get it right and make it look good and do their job with energy and enthusiasm. Unfortunately, the body of Christ has a lot of members that really don't care. Really don't care. We'll just drift along. We'll just get by, whatever. But thank God for those who are on fire, who are excited, who really keep the church going and keep building up the body of Christ. On fire. And finally, we build up the body of Christ. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. In harmony with one another. I heard about a couple of guys who were out riding around in a new place. May have been Baptist preachers. I'm not sure Baptist preachers ride around together. I don't know. But they passed the church and there was a sign out in the yard that said, Harmony Baptist Church. Drove on down the road about a half a mile, and there was a church, and the sign in the yard said, New Harmony Baptist Church. Paul said, as much as lies within you, live at peace with one another. We get so much more done when we're united than we do when we're split off in fractions or this or that or the other. Focus on what you do have in common. We all have Jesus Christ in our lives. And that supersedes anything that's different about us. Build up the body. It's important that we pay attention to our physical body. If we don't, somebody said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. It's important. We save ourselves a lot of grief and pain if we take care of ourselves. Save ourselves a lot of trips to the doctor. But if we didn't go to the doctor, we wouldn't have anywhere to go. So in a day when it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, it's urgent that we build up the body of Christ. And you are essential. You are needed to find your place of service. Where does Christ want you? Doesn't matter about the nominating committee. Where does Christ want you? Get in there and give it your best shot. Build up the body. I said when I started, I knew there was a couple of people. I knew Jan remembered my sermon, and I knew Dale remembered my sermon, and I knew Mildred Swofford remembered my sermon. She remembered Humphrey Pose's first one. Right? Did you make notes? You knew you weren't going to get out of here without me picking on you, didn't you? Yeah. What a faithful servant for many, many, many years. Sunday school director, just a wonderful friend. Wonderful servant of Jesus Christ, as are so many of you. Let's get on with building up the body. If there's a decision you need to make this day, we're going to sing softly and tenderly in hymn number 312, or I guess it'll be up here if you can't pick up a hymn book. So let's stand and sing. If you're here, you may not be a part of the body of Christ. You can be. Simple. Accept Christ as your Savior. Make a public profession of faith in Him. Follow Him. You can be a part of His body. If you are a part, and you know that you're not doing your part, you're not helping, you become slack, lazy. You need to just make a fresh commitment to do your part to build up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us today. If there's that one person who's never publicly committed their heart to Jesus Christ, may this be the moment they'll walk down this aisle and shake this pastor's hand and just make a commitment of their life. There may be some here today who have been saved, but they're not really committed to Christ, and they know that. Nobody has to point it out to them. The Holy Spirit will do that. If there's anyone here who needs to make a fresh commitment to help be a part of building up the body, the excitement of building up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, people respond to your invitation. In Jesus' name.